take those opportunities to share. Because, I mean, you may be the last line of defense somebody has before going to hell. Yeah, I'm just telling you the way it is. So I preached the gospel, and Dina heard it. I know she said she heard it. Some others did. And I'm like, okay, thank you, God. He gave me that sermon. And I was at church last Sunday. I'm sitting there, pastor's preaching. He drops another sermon in. I'm like, man, yeah. So I go to page 2 and start writing it down. I know he's preaching, but I can multitask. So he was preaching, and now it's not finished, but he's already given me the title, and I could preach it today. Okay, so I'm asked 2. Friday, I'm sitting at work. Now, I don't have my notebook with me. And he starts downloading. You ever had to have God download anything into you? I know our other ministers here have. He started downloading the whole sermon. I quit working. Now I'm an engineer, and I work on a computer all day. And I brought up my Word document, my Bible on the other screen, and I'm sitting there and I'm copying and pasting, and God's just downloading me a sermon, just boom, boom, boom. Now, I didn't know when I was going to preach it, and so I printed it. Then I went home and I wrote it down in my book. So I just had this printed, and I just stuck it in my Bible, and I had no clue when I was going to preach it. No clue. I mean, it could be Tuesday at work. It could be anytime. You know, so it could be another church. It could be an evangelistic event. It could be anything. I could preach it then. And I had no clue. 4:30, pastor calls. We're walking out the door. Where are you? What's going on, Brother Jerry? I am headed to church. I'm walking out the door to get in the car. Can you preach tonight? Yes, sir, I can. No hesitation. He said, well, I figured you had something. I said, you don't know, but God done dropped a sermon in my heart, and I had it all prepared. And didn't know when and how and where, what God was going to do, if it was going to be another church, if it was going to be at work, if it was going to be wherever. So God already gave this to me. Had no clue. See, Holy Ghost knows. Folks, if you'll just listen to Holy Spirit, if you'll just listen to it, our life will be a whole lot easier. This week I have been slamming myself with sermons and Word. It's 2 sermons a day I'm listening to. 2 to 3, if not 4, a day at work. Headphones in, working. Get in the car, my little Bluetooth headphone in. Driving down the road, listening to a sermon. I mean, slamming the Holy Ghost filled power of the Word in me. And the Lord dropped this in. And if you'll go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, another sermon I'm going to preach, and I got to write it down. I've heard say it percolating. The Beatitudes. I've never preached the Beatitudes before. I've been preaching since I was 23, and I am 52, so that tells you how long I've been preaching. 29 years. And I don't remember ever preaching the Beatitudes. I may have. I've read it hundreds of times, but I never preached it. You know, and the Lord dropped something in through another minister about the Beatitudes. He said, it's your attitude of being. The Beatitudes is our attitude of being who we are in Christ. I'm like, whoa, that's good. And that's all he said about it. And he kept going, and the Lord dropped a sermon in. You need to preach that. So, but tonight, the message, start with verse 25, if we can get it up on the screen. If not, I'll be in the New King James. First time preaching out of this new Bible, so if I can't find something, y'all overlook me. You don't have the New King James? Okay. it'll be all right. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. He tells us something right here. He said, in the King James, and I can preach out of the King James because that's what I've always preached out of. But I like what the New King James, how the New King James words it. It says, look at the birds of the air, or behold the fowls of the air. Look at them. Look. Pay attention to them. For neither do they sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't sow seeds. They don't plant, basically, is what he's saying. They don't plant anything. And we planted a little tiny garden on our patio this year. And we got peppers and stuff like that growing on our patio in pots. But they don't do those things. Now, the birds may come eat it. It says they don't sow, neither do they reap or gather into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Have you ever seen a bird hungry? Because it's going to be out there hunting food, right? We got a nice little killdee out here that's got four legs right out there. You can see it when you walk out. That is not a hungry bird. That bird is little fluffy. It's like me. It's fluffy. It's well fed, right? It don't look sick. It's well fed. He said, neither do they do those things. They don't gather into barns. They don't store up food. They don't go to Sam's and buy in bulk. Then it says this in the King James, the New King James. It says, and see here it says, are you not much better than they? But the original translation, this is closer to the original. It said, are you not of more value than they? Boy, and I was reading that. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost just dropped something in me. That I have more value than the birds. I have more value than the deer. I have more value than animals. I have more value than anything on this earth. Because Jesus loves us so much that He values us. He values us. Until we understand the cost that Jesus paid, we'll never understand the value that He has for us. Anybody know John 3:16? I mean, who can't quote John 3:16? Even people at baseball games hold up John 3:16, right? Anybody want to quote it? See, I got folks all over the place that's never in unison here. As Brother Jimmy said this morning, for God so loved the world. The word is cosmos. He loved the world, the people, so much. See, when we understand that He values us. I've been taught my whole life when I was in a denominational church. And if you're in a denominational church, and I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to tear your theology apart right now. Because my theology was wrong. It was for so long. I had taught it for so long that my righteousness was as filthy rags. That I was just a worm. That you were just a worm. We're nothing. Anybody here ever taught that? Was taught that? We were taught that. Guilty as charged, I taught that. I was wrong. And God dropped something in my heart in the preparation for the sermon. Thank God for forgiveness, you know. Thank God that He forgave me for me not knowing any better. Because the revelation I had then is not the revelation I have now. But I'm here to tell you, yes, your righteousness when you're lost is as filthy rags. You were, but not now. We were as filthy rags before we got saved. And I'm about tired of hearing people, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not an old sinner anymore. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're not a sinner. You're a saint. Time to realize who you are. See, until we understand the cost that Jesus paid, we'll never know our value. Until we understand that He paid it all to make us the righteousness of God, He made us the righteousness of God. We got to understand who you are and who I am in Christ, and we'll never understand that until we understand the value He placed on you and placed on me, that He would die on a cross for me. God sent His only Son. His Son, would you give up one of your kids for somebody that's stupid and crazy as we are? I wouldn't. And wouldn't now. I don't have a son, but I wouldn't give one of my daughters up. No, no way, no way, Jose. I wasn't worth it. But God thought I was. He placed value on us. He placed enough value that He died on the cross for us. Matthew 6, 25 through 32. Let's just 33. Let's go on down just a little bit, and we'll get into some other scriptures. Are you not much more value of they? Verse 26. 27 says, which of you worrying can add anything to your stature? I can't. If I worry, I don't add anything to my height, right? I'm already 6'6". I don't need to add anything more. I don't need to add anything more. He says, verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Yes, I have watermelons on, and I am proud of it. My wife bought me this. Nice shoes on too. My daughter bought those. See, people just buy me stuff. Amen. And if y'all want to buy, I'll tell you my shoe size later. 17. If you come across any, they're hard to find. So why do you worry about clothing? I mean, as long as I'm dressed decent and look good, it doesn't matter. I don't want to dress inappropriately, but I'm not going to worry about what I wear because God's got me covered. So why are you worried about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. They don't work. They don't toil. They don't go to work and go, oh my gosh, it's work day. How many of y'all say that every Monday? I'm fixing to kick our theology in the mouth again. I'm telling you, we need to quit it. I'm guilty. I do it. I don't want to go to work tomorrow. Why not? God asked me that. Why not? And I'm like, well. He said, are they not people there that need an opportunity to be saved, set free, healed, and delivered? And he asked me. And I'm like, oh my. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. And I still find myself, I got to get my words right. I got to find myself complaining. I don't want to toil. See, if I'm dreading going to work, that's toil. And that's not what the sermon's about, but the sermon's about value. But if we don't value who we are, and knowing God values me, and I don't understand who I am, then I won't like work. I walked in unforgiveness for a little while with work. I did. I walked in unforgiveness for about 2 or 3 months when they cut my pay. I mean, I was not happy. And they cut my pay a lot. I wasn't a happy person. I was bad. I was walking in unforgiveness and didn't realize it. Because I kept bringing it up. Kept talking about it. And then the Holy Spirit dropped something in and said, if you don't quit talking about it, you'll never forgive them. So I quit talking about it. And said, God, I'm sorry. I forgive them. So now I don't talk about it unless it's like this setting where it's to teach you. I'm trying to quit talking about it completely with anybody because I don't want to walk in unforgiveness because I don't want to toil. See, because of my value, I know who I am in Christ. I know I am His Son. I have become a joint heir with Christ. I am an heir of God. That makes me God's son. that makes me of value. You have value because Jesus thought you had value. Jesus told you you had value, and you have value because you're important. Hey, Jesus himself, you know, and you couldn't have picked a better song, Doug, because I read the red letters. To know who I am. And I am not an orphan. I am not an orphan. I am not. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those lilies of the field. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wow. Now there's a whole sermon in here about us worrying about finances in this, okay? But I'm talking about your worth. See, you're worth something to God. Then we get down, I'm going to skip some since it's 6:44. Go down to verse 33. No, I'll tell you what, let's go to 31. I'm sorry. I'm just going to read it all. Therefore, do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. All these things the Gentiles seek. But he says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows what you need. And he's going to supply what you need. Has anybody ever went hungry in here? I've never, ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My money, I might get tight sometimes, right? And you take a $220 pay cut a week, and you're talking about money getting tight quick. But God has not let me go hungry. Every bill has been paid. Everything is taken care of. God's got it, see? I have value. But if I don't understand who I am in Christ, I'll never know that I have value in Christ. Listen, let's go on down just a little bit. Now we're gonna read here in verse 33. But seek ye first. See, we start seeking everything else but God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this is really where I wanted to get to. I know it took me a little while to get here. I've never been accused of being short-winded. Amen. I try not to preach more than 40 minutes, but that happens sometimes. I have preached 2 hours. But seek you first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. Whose righteousness? His, not mine. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm going to seek His righteousness because God made me righteous. See, at the point of salvation, I was made right. You are worth enough that God made you righteous. Can you get a hold of that? You are worth the cross, the pain, the suffering, the agony that he went through. You were worth the beatings. The cat of nine tails, when it hit him, it would rip flesh. Watch the Passion of Christ again. I boo-hoo like a little baby. Anytime you want to watch a 6'6" man cry like a baby, put that movie on. When they beaten him. And I know that every stripe he took was for my salvation. Every stripe he took was for my healing. Every stripe he took was for me because I have value. Everything that he done made me have value. And I don't get a hold of that. I don't know who I am. And if I don't know who I am, I can't live it out. I can't be what God calls me to be if I don't know who I am. If I don't know that I have worth. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Anybody know this verse? You should know this verse. It's a really good verse. I tell you what, I'm just going to read it. I thought I marked it out, but I did not. Which is okay, because I know where 2 Corinthians is. Anybody can tell me that? Huh? It's right after 1 Corinthians, if you just wondered. I mean, if you just wondering, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. I tell you what, I'm going to back up and read verse 20, if you don't mind. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, just be reconciled. If there's anything in between you and God, reconcile it. He's pleading with them to reconcile between them and God because the Corinthians had problems. If you go back and read, the Corinthians had some issues. And he said, just reconcile yourself to God. If you've got issues, reconcile yourself. Get back right with God. Reconcile with God. It's the most important thing you could ever do. Then he says in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He took Jesus and placed every sin that he had no sin. That's what it says in this verse. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, who lived 33 years on this earth sinless as a man. As a man. But he put every sin on him. Every sin. Can you imagine how marred he was? It said he was unrecognizable. That wasn't just from the beating. That was from the sickness that he took. That was from every sin that he took. Oh, but he done all that so that I could be made the righteousness of God. So when I say, if I ever say it out of my mouth, somebody slap the taste out of my mouth. My righteousness is of filthy rags because my righteousness is in him. It's not of me.
Right.
My wife would say, she said, amen, I got you. I got you, husband. I'll slap the taste out of your mouth with pleasure. I'll do it. Now she gets on me if I ever speak out of, if my mouth don't say all it's supposed to, she'll get on me. I get back, though, don't I? Because I'll get her back, too. We've got to help each other. We've got to keep our mouth straight. When you get your mouth straight, your heart's getting straight. Because out of your mouth, your heart, out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if my mouth is speaking junk, then I got to get my heart right. And I got to realize who I am to get my heart right. I got to realize that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that he loved us so much that he made us right. So you need to understand something. Ephesians 5:8. Just flip to Ephesians 5:8 for me real quick, and we'll just do King James. I won't even read it out of the New King James. For you were sometimes darkness. Did you know that the New King James says, for you were darkness. Were darkness. Not were a little dark. You were darkness. You were. You were. Not now. You were. See, God sent his son Jesus, our Savior, to die on the cross that we could be made the righteousness of God. See, you got to understand that you were darkness. You were as filthy rags. You were worms. That's what your righteousness was. Not that he didn't value, because he didn't die for us that were saved. He died for a world that was lost. So the value goes to everybody, not just to the saved. But we got to, even as saved people, have got to understand what he done and how that he made us the righteousness of God. See, I once was darkness, but he died on the cross to take that darkness and rip it out of me. He died on the cross so that I could be saved, set free, healed, delivered, born again. I once was darkness, but he loved that darkness that was in me. He hates the darkness that was in me, but he loved the person that was dark. And he said, but you were darkness. It didn't say sometimes darkness. The original says you were darkness, period. Were. Not sometimes, you were. But now. See, he died for us when we were in darkness. He died for us when our righteousness was nothing, because we couldn't be right, because he had to make us right. See, I was dark. But now. You are what? Are ye, you are ye, same thing. Light. Light. See, we got to understand who we are. Pause, I need a drink. Praise God. See, we cannot walk in the fullness without knowing who we are. See, I once was dark. I once was lost. Anybody ever heard that song? I once was blind, but now I see. You know the song. It's a great song. So folks need to quit telling you are darkness. Folks need to quit saying that you are, your righteousness is filthy rags, because my righteousness is not mine, it's His. See, when I realize I'm right with God no matter what, because you can't take my righteousness from Him because He gave it to me, does not give you a free right to sin, okay? Right. Never said that. Shall we sin, Paul said in Romans, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said grace will never abound where sin is. Doesn't give you a free right to sin. Grace does not give you a right to sin. Grace gives you a right to be above sin. Yeah. Amen? How many can go a day without sinning? Raise your hand. Come on. Can I bust your theology up again? Can you go? By the time you go from the bed to the bathroom to brush your teeth in the morning, have you sinned? No. I'm too sleepy to sin. No. Now, seriously, how about on your ride to work? Have you sinned yet? You don't have to sin. Sin's a choice. Sin's a choice you make. I'm about tired of people saying the devil made me do it, because the devil didn't make you do nothing. He just gave you opportunity. You do it on your own. You don't have to sin. Did I say I was perfect? I never said that. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all make mistakes. I got an unforgiveness. That's sin. I can't be forgiven if I'm in unforgiveness. I got mad. Didn't cuss or nothing, but I got mad. I mean, come on. We're not perfect, but we don't have to sin. Why? Because you're now light. You were darkness, and that means you're not now. You were light. You were not light. You were darkness. The Bible says, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. I'll tell you what, these are some good verses. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. We're just going to 14. Wait a minute, these are red letters, right? I know they're not on the screen, but they are in your Bible. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify Father which is in heaven. How are you going to have good works if you're sinning? I know this sounds harsh, but I'm being honest. I'm just trying to be honest with you. We're none of us are perfect, but we don't have to sin. You don't have to walk in sin. I once was darkness, but I have been made the righteousness of God. When I know my value and my worst sin is something I abhor and I hate. I hate it. When we get to the point that we hate sin completely, then we're walking in the light as He is the light. Then I don't have to walk in darkness because I'm not dark anymore, because I've been made the righteousness of God. I have been made that. You'll never walk in the fullness without knowing your value. You'll never walk in the fullness of God without knowing who you are in Christ, and that you are the righteousness of God created in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. If you have been born again, you are the light of the world. He said, neither do they light a candle and put it under a bushel. New King James says basket. So don't be a basket head. Am I right?
Yeah.
Don't be a bucket head. I wish Jeff Smith was in here, because we nicknamed him Buckethead at Lane Furniture for some reason. I don't know why. He was just nicknamed Buckethead. You know that. I don't know why, but he was. Tim Hicks done it. I don't know if y'all know Tim Hicks. Tim Hicks, if you listen to this, I love you, my brother. That was funny. I don't know why, but Jeff is one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. He is. He's one of the best people. One of the most honest, Jesus-loving, church-running folks that I know, him and Verdell. I mean, you don't get no better than them two. I don't know why we call him Buckethead, but you don't need to be a Buckethead. Don't be one. Don't light your candle. Don't realize that you're righteous and then don't do nothing with it. You can't walk in the fullness. And when you're walking in fullness, you are just the light. That means I can't go anywhere where it's dark, because once I walk in, it becomes light. When I walk in, it's light. They may be cussing and can't telling funky jokes at work, and I walk up and the light shows up. They shut up. I want to hear that junk. Don't want to hear it. Tell them I pray for them. And they go to walking away. Can I lay hands on you? Then you go, hey, something's wrong with your shoulder, left shoulder. Come here, let me pray for it. And they go, why did you do that? What's the Holy Ghost? See, we become the light. And when we know who we are, we know our worth. But that Jesus put on us. We know our value. We've got to know our value. God values you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. Know your value. I know this is just an honest, little tough sermon. And I don't know why God gave it to us, but He did. You can't walk in the fullness without knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and your value. 1 Peter 2:24, about 99% of you can quote this, right? Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. We talked about this. That we, having died to sin, see, if you die to sin, you can't have it in you. Because it's dead, it's gone. But I'm only human. No, you're not. Don't make me slap the taste out of your mouth with the word. No, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. Seriously, you're not only human anymore. Don't say it. Stop saying I'm only human. I'm Holy Ghost, wall to wall. Every aspect of me is now Holy Ghost. Once I accepted Jesus and was baptized in the Holy Ghost, not only did He give me the Holy Ghost inside of me, He surrounded me and baptized me in Him. And now I'm the righteousness of God. So I'm not just Jerry anymore. I'm Jerry Plus. I could say I'm Jerry 2.0. Because I'm a whole lot better than I was, because Jesus is in me and walking with me. So now I know my value. I know who I am. Look what He says. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Might live what? Unto righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Anybody want to give me a definition? Just it's simply right standing with God. That's it. That's that simple. I can't be any more right than I am now. And my wife goes, oh, yes, you can. No. I'm right with God. And I can't be any more right than I can't get more right. When God says you're right, you're right. When God put His righteousness on me, I became right. I got to know who I am. I am His child. So now I said I have died to sin, so I don't have to sin. Hope that didn't hurt your theology too much, but you need to know the truth. We need to know the truth that we don't have to sin. We don't have to become sin. The truth is, you don't have to sin. You don't have to be a buckethead either. You don't have to hide your light, because you need to walk in and be light. Because He said, you were once dead in your sins, or are being dead in your sins, you're dead to those things. Why? Because Jesus transformed me and gave me a new heart. He gave me a new heart, a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Not saying I'm equal with God, but I got to have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of God? It's one word. What is it? Love. God is what? God loved the world, so loved. God didn't have no option. He is love. See, when He loved us, we were lost as a goose. We were in our sins. We were darkness, but He still loved me. Why? Because He put value on me. Because you're a soul. And He don't want that soul to burn. He don't want that soul to go to hell. So He had value. He gave you a way. He gave you a way out. He sent His Son to fulfill the Old Testament. Anybody know how many laws they were in the Old Testament? Anybody know off the top of your head? 613 and 10 commandments. 613 laws, 10 commandments, and if you broke one, you were guilty of them all. Wow. Can you imagine? I've done all 612 and plus the 10. I got one to go and I missed it. Let's start over. So I'm guilty of them all. Jesus came to stop that. He came to fulfill that. And He said, now the law is in two. How many can do the two? You may know the two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Two. I can do two. 613 and 10. Praise God, I don't have to. Then you take two turtle doves and you go on the fifth day of the year, on the fifth day of the month, in this month, and you take it to the priest and you give one to the priest and you give one and have it sacrificed. Okay, now don't forget you got to stand on one foot and spin like a duck or something, you know. So I missed it. I forgot to spin. I forgot to dance. I missed it. 613 laws and 10 commandments, and I missed them. One, I missed them all. Jesus said, only two. Because it's all rolled up into this. Love God with everything that you have. See, folks, the problem is we haven't surrendered. I know it's 7:06. We have not surrendered to God. We incorporated Him. See, you'll sin and do all kind of crazy stuff when you just incorporate Him. I need a volunteer. Andrew, come here. I'm going to use you, brother. Minister Andrew Morgan. Everybody give him a round of applause. Yeah. Great man of God. I'm not going to touch you because I don't want the anointing to hit you and you just go flying right now. It has happened before in the tent when I didn't mean to touch him. I just did, and the Holy Ghost just said, and then he went flying. Then I done a little, that's after I danced. Dancing in the spirit is the best thing. See, now I actually am going to touch you. You're going to be good. The power of God, see, if St. Andrew is Jesus. Yeah. See, Andrew, you're just going to walk with me. Just walk with me. See, now I'm walking ahead of you. See, Jesus is with me. I've just kind of incorporated Him. See, we didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to preach. I knew what I was going to preach, but I didn't know what I was going to talk about it. How that we can't just incorporate Jesus. Jesus has to be in us completely. See, incorporated. He's just close to me. Now, if I surrender, now Jesus, tell me what you want me to do. See, now, wait a minute. I told Jesus to walk with me, right? I said, walk with me, then I started getting ahead of Him as a reason. See, I didn't ask Him what to do. I just took Him with me. See, now you can go sit down now. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. See, that is incorporating it. Anybody incorporate dough, right? I mean, you just kind of mix it up. It's just dough. But when I ask Jesus what He wants me to do, I start surrendering. When I know my worth, and I know what He done for me, and I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I know those things. Instead of me saying, okay, Jesus, just come on, go with me. Just walk with me, and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do my thing, and you just hang with me. No. Folks, that just don't cut it. See, we incorporate it. We just incorporate it. God, I'm going to do just a little bit of what you want. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to put my polo shoes on, and I'm going to look good, and I'm going to praise a little, and do a little jig, and then come Monday, I'm going to do what I want. See, that don't work. And all of us do it. We just incorporate Him. We don't become who He says we are. He says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. He made me righteous. Then He says, being dead to sins, we should live unto that righteousness. So I can't just incorporate Christ. I have to surrender. Okay, Jesus, it's me and you today. You tell me what to do, and I'll go do it. How to do it, where to do it, when to do it. What if, just this is just a what if, and I'm going to try to close. I'm telling you, the anointing of teach is on me tonight. Usually it's preaching, wide open. Kind of Brother Chris running crazy, acting goofy, wide open. But He wants us to get a hold of something tonight. See, when we start living, being dead to sin, we should live unto righteousness. You stop being a buckethead or a baskethead, and you start surrendering to Him because you know who you are. And once you know who you are, it's easy to say, Jesus, I just give it to You. I don't want to be me. I want to be possessed of God. I want to do everything that You said I need to do and everything that You tell me to do and how You tell me to do it, when You tell me to do it, and I don't want to do anything besides that. I don't want to incorporate it. I don't want to go, okay, Jesus, let's go. I want to go, okay, Jesus, I'll go where You go. I'll walk where You walk. I'll pray for who I need to pray for. If I'm at Walmart, I was at Walmart the other day. Me and my daughter went, and she went and got all the groceries, and I was still praying for folks. Yeah. See, that's what we need to be doing. Stop being in a hurry. How about you in line at Walmart? How many get mad at Walmart? 25 checkout lines and 2 checkers. 14 people in line. Take that as an opportunity. Hey, you know Jesus. Yeah, hey. Your right arm's hurting. Let me pray for you. Well, what's wrong with your hand? I see you got it wrapped up. And just pray for him. You believe God? Does God heal? Is He that's still healing business? Is it only preachers that can lay hands on the sick and they get recovered? Last I checked, the Word says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's to everybody. That was written to a church, by the way. Lay hands on them and they'll recover. If you incorporate Jesus, they may not. When you surrender, they will. Oh, I'm going to do it on my own power. How many's ever done that before? Oh, yeah. I've been under the anointing and not realize it. I had just been filled with the Holy Ghost and was at a church. I was still in the denominational world and just fresh, new, talking in tongues now. I was. I go to this Holy Ghost-filled church. Man, you're talking about an awakening. Because I had went to a couple, not many. And didn't realize I knew I was under the anointing, but I didn't realize what I had. I didn't even realize who I was. I just knew I was following Jesus, okay? I had surrendered. I was in total surrender. God, You do it, I'll just step back and let You do it. I get done, they all start coming up front when we pray for them. I'm like, what is going on? Wasn't used to that. I mean, I did lay hands on people, though, when I was in the denominational world. I want to forget it, guy. I laid hands on him, he hit the floor. Freaked me out. I'm like, whoa. Although I'd had experienced it once, I never laid hands on nobody and they'd done that. I'm like, whoa. That's cool. Let's go home, you know. Guy come up, hand sliced. And you can see it. I mean, sliced open. Ugh. Everybody's like, ugh. I'm not a favorite fan of blood, but don't bother me too much. Guy's got a sliced open hand. Pray for my hand. All right. in the name of Jesus. I then got emboldened by the presence and the power of God. He hit the floor. He come up, hand completely, no cut. See, that's where we got to get to. That was fresh. I was fresh and new then. That was 20-something years ago. And it just gets better. Now, I do this every once in a while. I go my ups and downs. But I never, ever need to incorporate it. I've got to surrender. Because I know who I am. Do you know who you are tonight? Do you know that you have value tonight? Even if you're in sin, you have value. He don't want you to stay there. He sent His Son to die on the cross just so that you don't have to die ever again. There's only one death that matters, is that death when I surrendered to Christ and I became a new guy. I was become dead to sin. I become dead to sin. That's the death you need to have. See, but if you never accept Jesus as Savior, then you're going to die in those sins. And that's an awful thing to do. It's time to realize that you have worth and that He loves you so much. Christian, I'm telling you, you children of God, I mean, we have been taught this and taught this and taught this by our pastors, that we have value. Every Sunday, our pastor tells us that we're the best. Why? Because you have value. Why? Because Jesus values you and our pastor values you. See, but the value that Jesus put on us is so much more than anybody else could. Because God sent Jesus to die so that I can have that, so that I know that I have value. This is the last thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Y'all believe it? That it's profitable for doctrine, right? For reproof. Nobody likes to hear reproof, but tonight was a little reproving. Just a little bit, not much. For correction, because sometimes we get out, our thinking gets wonky, and God's got to push us back right. So there is correction. So all Scripture, the Word is given because of it. For instructions. See, we always stop there. But it says, for instructions in righteousness. You're going, wait a minute. What do you mean instruction in righteousness? So I know who I am. And then it says that the man of God. I love this verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, when you know who you are and you are walking in the fullness of God, you are made complete in Him, and you're thoroughly equipped. You're thoroughly equipped for everything that God has called you to do. Never devalue yourself. Never devalue. Some people in here have said, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm worth anything. Some of you have. This is by the Holy Ghost. This is not by Jerry. Some of you said that. I just don't feel like I'm worth anything. But you are worth everything. You are worth everything to our Savior. You're worth everything. And you need to know that. You are worth it all. Don't ever say that you're not worth anything. If anybody ever tells you that you're not worth anything, because somebody, there's been people in here, I know in the natural, but I know in the supernatural, there have been people sitting in here right now that have been told that you're not worth anything. And Jesus said you are. He said you're worth it all because I paid it all. You're worth everything to Him, or He wouldn't have died for you. You know who you are now. You're not a bucket head. You're the righteousness of God. Jesus wants you to do one thing, and that's just totally surrender to Him. You know who you are. You know what He's done. And I pray that I've done this justice. Because, I mean, this was all Holy Ghost breathed and Holy Ghost said. And He wants you to know your value. Lost or not, you have value. Too many people tell their children, you're never going to be worth anything. You don't ever say that about your kids. You say you're worth Jesus. You're worth everything. Don't ever tell your spouse that they're worth nothing, because they're worth everything to the Master. And if I am His and He's mine and I am surrendered to God, then I am to walk just as God walked. And that's in love. And see, when I start walking in love, you become worth everything to me. Your soul becomes worth so much that I don't want anybody to die and go to hell, because they have worth to God, they have worth to me. See, when you know who you are, people have worth, and you'll take the time. You'll take the time and the opportunity to share that they have value. And that they want, and that Jesus wants them. I heard a testimony from a guy that was fixing to kill himself. He didn't know he was just going to kill himself. He's going to get done with it. He hated himself. He hated God. He hated everybody. He was an atheist. He said he walked by a phone book, and out of the 600 churches, he saw one, and he said, "I'm just going to go there." And he goes there. And I won't ever forget this guy. If this guy wouldn't have been Holy Ghost filled and full of the Holy Spirit, he never would have said what he said to this young man. He said, if you don't value your life, I know somebody that does. I want to just give it to him and let him take care of you. He said, fine, I'll do it. And that's the way he said, fine, I'll do it. He said, well, pray this with me. And he prayed that with him. He said he went home and went back to doing drugs. He said, but there was something in the back of his mind. There was something that was nagging at him. He said, I accepted Jesus right then, but I didn't completely surrender. He went back to doing drugs, and he said every time he tried to do something, it just wouldn't go right. So he went and was going to buy some more drugs, and he stole the drugs from the drug dealer. Pretended to be a police officer, stole the drugs. Gang gets in a car. Guy shoots at him 10 feet away and misses him. If I got a 9mm and you're 10 feet away, I ain't going to miss you. No, that's just God. His car didn't even have a hole in it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I took all the bullets for you. He went to Teen Challenge, surrendered everything to Jesus. Now he's a minister preaching all over the world. And healing like crazy, laying hands on the people. Body, you know who I'm talking about. You've heard his testimony. His name's Todd White. Got dreadlocks. Cool guy. One of my bucket lists is to meet him. And just sit down and talk with him. See, he didn't know he had value. And the one preacher that he met out of 600 or something churches, the one preacher that was probably there just for him, said, if you don't have value in yourself, I tell you, somebody that has value in you, just give your life to it. See, if you don't understand that you have value, I hope you do now. If you came in here not knowing you had value, and I know you, I know most of you in this church, but there's been times that I've devalued myself and thought, man, Jerry, you're just not doing right. You're just not doing what you need to do. You're not. Stop it and realize who you are in Christ. Realize that He paid it all just for me, just for you. And if you had been the only one that got saved, He'd have done it anyway. So we didn't have to have 613 laws and 10 commandments to try to do. So we just had to love Him with everything that I have and to surrender totally. God wants your all. He gave you His all. Give Him your all. Give Him your all. I'm telling you, God is so good. I'm trying to find a place to unhook, because this sermon will never stop. You can't. Let's stand. Let's put a song on just for a minute. if you just need to come to the altar, come up here and pray. If you want me to pray for you, I will. I don't know where and how this needs to go. I just know the Holy Ghost. There's some people here that need to be in this altar thanking Him for making you the righteousness of God. There's some in here that's been told that you're not worth anything, but you are worth everything. There's some here that's been told that their whole life. And you've tried to find yourself in Christ and you have surrendered, well, you have incorporated Him, but you hadn't surrendered. Not totally. And some of I find surrendering hard sometimes. When things are not going good, it's really hard. But Jesus said it shouldn't be. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Everybody says, oh, it's hard to be a Christian. No, it's not. It's the easiest life there ever is if you'll surrender. What makes it hard is you incorporate Him. You don't surrender. If you surrender, it's easy. Now, have I always been surrendered? No. Do I always surrender? No. But I want to. And we can live in full surrender if we want to. Turn it up. I'm through preaching. If you want to be prayed for, if you have sickness in your body, if you just need somebody to hug you, yeah, a big old bear hug, I'll give you one. I'm telling you, God loves you. And He wants you to total surrender tonight. Total. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Hallelujah. 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 Surrender your life to Jesus right now. Father, we just thank You that Your word has went forth, God, as best as I can, as much as I could listen to You. God, help me not incorporate You, but help me surrender and know that I am loved and I am valued. Do I not have more value than the burdens? Oh, yes, I do. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for that. Thank You for this night. Thank You for this night when we realize that we are of value. That we are of value. And I'm telling you that have heard that before, that you're not worth nothing or have thought that. Holy Spirit is telling you this. I valued you enough to die on the cross for you. Don't ever devalue yourself with me. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. We love You so much tonight. God, I surrender myself completely and utterly to You, Holy Spirit. Take over, control my mind, my heart, my soul by the Holy Ghost. If you don't have, if you've never been filled by the Holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, tonight's a good night to do it. See, we get in filled with the Spirit of God when we get saved. We have the Spirit of God inside of us, but He said He wants to completely immerse you in the power and the presence of God. The word is clothed with or vested in the Bible. He wants to clothe you or vest, put a vest of righteousness, a vest of power over you through the Holy Ghost. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Father God, we thank You for everything You've done tonight. God, I pray right now that each one would be blessed as they leave. Father God, help us not to be no buckethead. Help us to understand who we are in You. Help me to walk out this righteousness, that I am no longer filthy rags, that I am no longer darkness, but I am now become the light. God, help me be that light wherever I go so that the world can see You in me. Jesus, it's not about me. It's about You and what I can do for You. It's about what You've done for me. Thank God for that. But now, God, I surrender. It's what I can do for the people. God, help us to understand that we need to be light so the world can see the light in us. We love You in Jesus' name. Church said amen. God bless you for coming. Thank you, visitors. Tell somebody, love them before you go.